Om Gyanatamananda Sya Jana Jana Salakaya Chakshur Samilitan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapandanti Kam Vansakopa Turbhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayubhacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Just as right now, we are all sitting, or our weight is resting upon this fine marble floor, and we are dependent upon it. And although we don't usually think in this way, we are actually thankful to the floor. The Krishna consciousness movement rests upon Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, because based on his teachings and the incredible work he did and the incredible life that he led, his divine son Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur built his institution, and this, practically speaking, was the first time that Gaudiya Vaishnavism was really institutionalized. And institutions are very interesting because they give such a form to something that they give form. That's the quality of an institution. It supplies form. But how do you give form to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are ultimately spontaneous and based on the love of the spontaneous love of the residents of Vrindavan, ultimately, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught by his example and by the words of his followers? How do you give such a form to such an amazing spontaneous occurrence as the rise of love of God in the heart? So this was the great challenge that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur met and passed on to our Srila Prabhupada. And the essence of this form is based on the teachings of Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, where he explains how Vaidhi Bhakti, which is the form, is not different from the Ragmarg, or the spontaneous path, or the path of spontaneous devotion, in a specific sense, because in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita it explains that Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha, and Ragmarg leads to Goloka Vrindavan and very intimate relationship with Krishna. So Srila Jiva Goswami explained, and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur picked up this point, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur institutionalized it, that Vaidhi Bhakti is supportive, it's a required, necessary support for the cultivation, for the development of spontaneous devotion. So the two are not different. So we know very well that Srila Prabhupada, he put this so clearly within the institution of his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But it all rests upon the amazing teachings, the amazing life of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And I can say for myself, the first real, because those of us who, especially those who are the devotees or aspiring devotees coming from the West, we have no idea we had no idea about the concept of some of the such basic concepts of Krishna consciousness. The deity, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy dhams. Very little or no concept even of these things that people born in the land of Bharat, they automatically take for granted. It's in their DNA, practically speaking. So we learned everything, even these foundational concepts, from our association with Srila Prabhupada. And then I could say for myself, the first time we became exposed to India, and India in 1974 was very different than it is today. In 1974, so many of the devotees first attended, international devotees from all over the world, attended the Gaur Purnima festival for the first time. And then we saw, and of course we could say so many funny, interesting stories about our first exposures to India coming from the West. But we won't speak about that right now. But just these first impressions of landing in Sridhar Mayapur, a land where everyone is saying, you know, Jai Nitai, Jai Gaur. Everyone knows Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It was so astounding. But even more astounding was than being in the land and walking to the Ganga, which was at that time, it seemed like kilometers and kilometers from the land of that Srila Prabhupada had acquired for his Chandradoya Mandir. But then there was one day before Gaur Purnima that all the devotees gathered together on the order of Srila Prabhupada, on the instructions of Prabhupada, and then we had kirtan to the Yogapit, the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for me personally, who had been preaching in Hong Kong, just one or two, and we were visited by Gopal, who is, yes, there, our very own Gopal Prabhu, who had been in India for many years preaching in the most austere conditions. And suddenly we were surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of Vaishnavas from all over the world. And then a kirtan began. And the kirtan was to the yoga pit. And it was astounding. I shouldn't say it was ecstatic, because I'm a very fallen soul and don't know what true ecstasy is, but it was extremely wonderful. And the devotees were all chanting, and the sannyasis were all in front with their dandas and dancing and chanting. All the sannyasis were young in those days. Dancing and chanting and chanting and dancing. And then we got to the Yogapit, the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. And then the kirtan began, and we were circling the actual mandir established by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then we began chanting Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. And that kirtan was so powerful that I would have to say it did enter my heart. And then we heard something very amazing, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had predicted, and by his prediction he had like caused it to happen, practically speaking. He caused it to manifest through his order. Amara Gai Guru Hai Tare Desh. Through his order, through the practical establishment of the institution, through the practical, incredible, astounding carrying out this order by our Srila Prabhupada, then we heard that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had desired and predicted when will that day come where the Indian devotees, the devotees born in Bharat, and the Bengali devotees, and will gather together with their Western brothers and sisters too, and chant together Jai Satchinandana, Jai Satchinandana. So this was so touching because it was actually being manifest in such an, it was real, it was being manifest in an ecstatic way. And then we went to Godrum Dweep in boats. This was so romantically exciting to go across in boats. I remember I swam across the Jalangi to Godrum Dweep. And then we saw such amazing things. We saw the fan powered by, I think it was kerosene, of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We saw his seed, his library, and the balcony by which he saw the Adbhuta Mandir being manifested, the effulgent birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We discovered that, and we heard so many things that we had never heard before. So the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so amazing because he lived in the world, but not really in the world. But he lived in the world as a district magistrate, which at that time, now the DM is so powerful, but at that time he practically was the king of a particular area with so much power. And he lived in the world as the district magistrate. And then when one hears of his practical devotional accomplishments, this writing of books, the number of books he wrote, we could spend this class and the next class and the next class just talking about the books that he wrote, such depth. He would study the works of the Goswamis, and his study was translating them and assimilating them in that way. He would study them, assimilate them, and write them into his own Bengali and Sanskrit poetry and books. There's an astounding number, really astounding, hundreds of poetical and novels. And Jivadharma and Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, which summarized so many books that summarized the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness and presented it in such a wonderful way. Discovering lost Vaishnava literatures, inspiring and building the Yogapit temple, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when we went for the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I remember seeing a booklet that shastically proved that this was the actual birthplace of Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his desire, and this is such an important point, his desire was so pure. Anya abhilasita shunyam gyanakamanavita. His relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so intimate that Mahaprabhu manifested this through him. And we can say Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada manifested the mercy, that the life that we are all leading now is manifested through this kind of mercy because of the purity and the desire to please Mahaprabhu and the cyclic line. These two things, the sincerity and feeling completely incapable of performing such a task, which everyone thought was impossible, practically speaking. The sincerity, the desire to serve in this way, and then feeling oneself completely incapable, bringing humility, the deepest humility, and that attracting so much mercy that actually caused it to manifest. And we are living in that because of that. No, Srila Prabhupada was in the exact same position, and he went through that exact same process of full desire to please Sisi, Guru and Gauranga, feeling incapable, knowing what that desire was, feeling incapable, the depth of humility that is required. And then, by that means, Krishna Shakti Nahivina Tarpavatina, attracting the mercy. This is the process of actually doing something, anything practically speaking, in the service of Krishna. One has to get the depth of humility, of course, purity of desire and humility. So, I would like right now, if we will get a glimpse of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's process of developing humility and his mood of humility by trying to enter into that mood in one of his songs. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote four song books, and this song Gopinath is from Kalyana Kalpataru. His other song books, Krishna willing, will hear and participate in so many, and some of the other songs too. But this type of a song is not, obviously, it's not meant for a performance, because in a performance there's the actor or the singer, and then there's the audience. Why don't you take it? But in this type of kirtan, sankirtan performance, the audience is 100% necessary to reciprocate, to be a part of it. It's the kirtan of the song. We'll just sing the first part of Gopinath. So participate and see if we can enter into the mood that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had entered into and was, through his songs, teaching us how we can be humble. And as Srila Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Dainya and Prema are the same. Humility and love for Krishna are the same. They are not different. You can't have one. You can't have one without the other, practically speaking. Now, if you will just give me a moment, I will see if I can, if it appears. Yes. So, make sure that the Matajis also, do the Matajis also have, we don't have so many, but are there any back there? But we have to do it. Thoda jaldi karo. So, just hand it to the, yes, let them hand it out. Yes, very good. Delegation is the first law of management. Okay, Damodar Prabhu. Gopinath. Huh? Let's start and we'll see how we go. Because singing is such a way that the mood of what you're singing enters your heart. Therefore, bhajans are so important for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Philosophy tends to stay in the head. But if we just go into the heart without the philosophy, we will run in all kinds of directions. So the two are very good combined. But now let's try to enter into the mood of Gopinath. Gopinath. O Gopinath, O Lord of the Gopis, please hear my request to you now. I am just a gross sense gratifier and a wicked rogue. I am continuously addicted to chasing after my material desires. And I don't even possess a drop of any good qualities at all. This is my real position. Now we'll read the second verse and then we'll sing the second verse. O Gopinath, you are my only last hope. Therefore I have taken full shelter of your lotus feet for my protection. That is Sharanagati. Please consider me to be your insignificant menial servant. Please engage me in your service. Gopinath, tomara charane lailo sharana, tomara kinkara ami. Gopinath, Gopinath, O Gopinath, how is it possible to purify someone like me? I have no idea about what devotion is, for my materialistic mind is completely absorbed in fruitive actions and reactions. This is my pitiful condition now that I've fallen into the ghastly dark pit of this material world. Oh Gopinath, everything in this world is made of your temporary illusory energy. This body also is totally dependent on strict material laws. And being trapped within such a body, I now find myself helplessly defeated and bereft of all transcendental knowledge. Oh Gopinath. Thank you. Sakalito mara maya Naima mabala Gyan sunirmala Swadina nahi ekaya Gopinath, O Gopinath, this sinner is weeping and weeping. How often does that happen when we pray and chant? Begging piteously for an eternal place close to your lotus feet. Please, please be merciful and bestow such a favor on this fallen soul. Kandiya, kandiya, koro he koru na dana. O Gopinath, you are the Supreme Lord. Certainly you are able to do anything you like. I know that you have the power to deliver all sinners. So now I am admitting to you, who can be a more of a sinner than my most wicked self? O Gopinath. Sakati keate papira ara. O Gopinath, you are like an unlimited ocean of causeless mercy. Because according to modern psychologists, if we just meditate on how bad we are all the time, we're just going to cause ourselves mental harm. And it's true. And meditating on how bad we are and how many faults we have is not humility. Humility means to do as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing. Understand my faults and then take full shelter of the unlimitedly merciful Lord. Just to show compassion to all fallen souls, you personally come into this material world and expand so many nice pastimes before our very eyes. Parabara Jivera Purane Asya Prabhante Lila Koilo Subhishkara. O Gopinath, how much of a sinner among sinners am I? So many demons have attained your lotus feet, but Bhaktivinoda has simply remained here, trapped in this worldly existence.
Thank you.
for my mantra. My mantra. First came to Sri Vrindavan, the Krishna Balaram Mandir, to live in 1983. We heard something that Srila Prabhupada had told the devotees in the very early days. He said, according to what we heard, and I've told so many devotees this, that if you have a problem you can't solve, take it to Lord Balaram. Once there was some devotees came from Iran a few years, sometimes in the mid 80s, they came from Iran, and this was the first Iranian devotees, and they all came from Muslim backgrounds. So the devotee who had preached to them, his name was Mahaprabhu, who was a nuclear scientist in Iran at that time. He brought them to my room, some of them, and other devotees as well, just to talk to them and give them some association. So we preached to them so much philosophy and whatever. And then after, one Mataji and a translator stayed behind for a moment. And he's hinting that you can't worship form. So I can't believe... I can't relate to the deities here. I can't relate to the deities here, she said. So, being who I am, I spoke so much philosophy and how the Lord's energy, Abhinatam Namanamano, excuse me, that the Lord's... the Lord is no different from his material energy. He can convert matter into spirit, etc. And so much philosophy. And after 10 minutes or 15 minutes, she wasn't at all convinced at all. So I told her then, I remembered what Prabhupada said. And I said, why don't you go into the temple room and bring this problem to Lord Balaram? So I explained to her how to do it. You had to kind of use your elbows a little bit to get your position. And then you place yourself right in front of Lord Balaram. You hold your position and then tell him everything. Be completely honest. Tell him everything. Tell him in your own language, you're born in an Islamic family, you can't relate to deities. Tell him everything. Tell him everything. And then just wait there. So then she left with the translator, and then I forgot about everything and went back to whatever in the world I thought was significant and I was doing. Then in 45 minutes, she returned and said, "Now I believe." And I have no idea what happened between her and Balaram during that time, but something wonderful happened. So we're so fortunate. I'm mentioning this point to say how fortunate we are to be sitting right here in Krishna Balaram Mandir, right before C.C. Gaunatai, right in front of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and usually Prabhupada over there, in front of Krishna Balaram, in front of Radha Shyamasundara Lalita Vishakha. They so kindly have come here in such powerful presence so that we can open our hearts to them and beg for some mercy. Ekka bindu diya, just one drop of their mercy is sufficient to drown the whole world. So we're so fortunate that they are here. Another, just going back here, another one of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's works is called the Bhagavata. It's philosophy, it's ethics, and it's theology. And most of this particular essay, which isn't very long, he's speaking about the Bhagavatam and speaking about, he's trying to get people with a modern mind to be able to relate with this ancient holy literature. And then at the very end, which is what I will read to you, this is what he says. "What sort of a thing is the Bhagavata?" asked the European gentleman who's newly arrived in India. So he wrote, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this late 1800s, so quite a long time ago. His companion tells him with a very peaceful look that the Bhagavatam is a book which his Oriya bearer, his servant who carries all his heavy things, who is from Orissa, he daily reads in the evening to a number of hearers. This is what the Bhagavatam is. And it contains some language that no one can understand. It is the savage literature of these men who paint their noses with some earth and clay, and they put beads all over their body in order that they can get salvation, liberation. Another of his companions, who has traveled a little bit to the interior of India, would immediately contradict him and say that the Bhagavatam is a Sanskrit work claimed by a sect of men, a small group of men called the Goswamis, who give mantras, just like the popes in Italy, they give mantras, they give blessings. So these Goswamis give blessings to the common people of Bengal who pardon their sins as long as they pay them enough gold. Then a third gentleman will repeat a third explanation about what the Bhagavatam is. Young Bengalis, chained up in English thought and ideas, and wholly ignorant of the pre-Mohammedan history of their own country, will add one more explanation. This is what the modern people will say. The Bhagavatam is a book containing a life's account of Krishna, who is an ambitious, immoral man. Once I was in Bangladesh and I met a Christian who said to me, "How could you worship a God who dances with the wives of others in the middle of the night?" So this is a common, another foolish explanation. This is all that he could gather from his grandmother while he did not yet go to school. So this was the old tradition before there was the internet, before there was television, before, yes, there were times when these things did not exist, when grandmothers used to read to their grandchildren the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, and the Bhagavatam, and pass on the holy traditions in that way. So he continues, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Thus the great Bhagavata remains unknown to the foreigners. Like the elephant of the six blind men who caught hold of the different parts of the body of that great beast. But truth, he says, is eternal and can never be injured but for a short time by ignorance. The Bhagavatam itself, he says, tells us what the Bhagavatam is. And then he quotes Nigama Kalpatru Galitam Phalam. It is the fruit of the tree of Vedas mixed with the nectar of the speech of Srila Sukadev Goswami. It is the temple of spiritual love. O men of piety, drink deep this nectar of the Bhagavata repeatedly, again and again, till you are taken from this material body, this mortal frame. And then he says, quotes the Garuda Purana. The Bhagavata is composed of 18,000 slokas. Garuda Purana is one of the oldest of Puranas. It contains the best part of the Vedas and Vedanta. Whoever has tasted, please listen to this last line, whoever who has tasted its sweet nectar will never like to read any other religious book. Every thoughtful reader will certainly repeat this glorification of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is preeminently the book in India. Once one enters into it, you are transplanted. You are uprooted from material existence and placed into the spiritual world, where gross matter has no existence. The true follower of the Bhagavata is a spiritual man who has already cut his temporary connection with phenomenal nature, with the material world, and has made himself, this is the true follower of the Bhagavata, he has cut his connection with the temporary material world, and he's made himself an inhabitant of the region where God eternally exists and loves. This mighty work is founded upon the inspiration and its inspiration, the revelation of Srila Vyasadeva, and its superstructure is upon reflection, the deep realizations of holy souls. To the common reader, it has no charms, and it is full of difficulty. We are therefore, now here, what is the cure for that? We are therefore obliged to study it deeply through the assistance of great commentators such as Srila Sridhar Swami and the divine Chaitanya and his contemporary followers. So it is no wonder that Srila Prabhupada instituted Bhagavatam classes a daily observance, so we can enter deeply into this literature. So that is what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about the Bhagavata. That's how he ended his essay. Now, I would like to sing some of one of his other songs, which is called Bhajan Upadesh. And then after we'll sing some of the verses. Just let me get it. It's at the end of Gita Mala, I believe. Anyway. You sing it. Goldruma Kanana Kunjabidam. There's 20 slokas in this, and we'll only sing a few of them and understand something about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mood of his bhajan in relationship, his worship, his service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please begin.
Yeah.
Hidayam satatam. Yagriyam Kali Baba Mayam Bajako Bajako Drumakana Kunjavidum Bajako Drumakana Kunjavidum Yovana Divana Rajasikam Rinityamanu Chananasaparam Chaja Gramya Kata Sakala Vipalam Bhaja Godrumaka Bhaja Godrumaka Nana Kunja Vidum Bhaja Godrumaka Nana Kunja Vidum Bhaja Godrumakanana Kunjavidum Bhaja Godrumakanana Kunjavidum If you want your heart to be always absorbed in drinking the ambrosial nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Hari, then give up household life, which is full of quarrels and strife, and just worship Lord Gouda, the moon of Godrum's forest bowers. Material riches, youth, long duration of life, and royal happiness, none of these are eternal. At any moment, they can be destroyed. Give up all useless topics of mundane conversation, and just worship Lord Gouda, the moon of Godrum's forest bowers. O friend, ultimately the pleasure to be had in the company of beautiful young women turns to fearfulness and distracts one from the real goal of life. Just worship Lord Gouda, the moon of Godrum's forest bowers, with your mind intoxicated by the nectarian mellows of the holy name. There's so many verses and points here. I'm going to skip to the end because it's getting late already. Just always worship Lord Gouda, the beautiful moon of Godrum, as far as bowers, and call out to the Lord, O Yadava, O Madhava, O Krishna, O Hari, O Ram, O Janardhan, O Keshava, O beloved of Lord, of the beloved Lord of Radha. Just worship Lord Gauda, the moon of Godrum's forest bowers, and call out to the Lord. O Lord of the Vrindavan forest, which lies along the banks of the Jamuna, O Lord of Govardhan Hill, O son of the forest of forest groves of Gokul, O giver of life to the rasa dance, O Gauda Hari. Gauda Nabadweep, the land of Lord Chaitanya, read and recite with great joy the wonderful pastimes of Lord Gauda Hari. Roll about in ecstasy on the bank of the Ganga, which are marked with the footprints of Lord Chaitanya, and worship the Lord Gauda, the beautiful moon of Godruma's forest bowers. Remember the wonderful pastimes of Gaur and Gadadhar. Become a servant of Gaur and Gadadhar. Listen to the beautiful narrations concerning Gaur and Gadadhar, and worship Lord Gauda, the beautiful moon of Godrum's forest bowers. One more part of an essay that I'd like to read, and it's about preaching. This is called Sri Sri Godruma Chandra Agya, the order of the divine command, the order of Godruma Chandra, the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's a lot mixed in here from Chaitanya Bhagavat. But I will go a little bit quickly because you're also patiently listening. And we don't want to test your patience too much. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his mercy to all created beings. Okay, you can play harmonium. This is, play it to Kabe Habi Bolo Sayyidina Mahan. And he showed his mercy by giving the following command to Nityananda Prabhu and Thakur Haridas, as recorded in Chaitanya Bhagavata. Bolo Krishna, Bajai Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shika. Listen, Nityananda. Listen, Haridas. Make my command known everywhere. Go from house to house and beg all the residents. Please chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, and teach others to follow Krishna's instructions. Do not speak or cause anyone to speak anything other than this. In order to carry out this command, Prabhu Nityananda and Thakur Haridas took the help of other devotees, and they went house to house preaching the glories of the holy name. In a series of statements they preached, Bolo Krishna, Bajai Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shika. There are three different commands that are evident. The meaning of the command Bolo Krishna is, Hey Jiva, always chant the name of Krishna. The meaning of Bajo Krishna is, Hey Jiva, cause the flower of the holy name to blossom into the expanding petals of Krishna's Swarup, Guna, and Leela, and thus enjoy that flower-like nam. The meaning of the command, Koro Krishna Shika, is, Hey Krishna Bhaktas, become endowed with the knowledge of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, and relish the supreme rasa, which is the holy nectar of that name flower. Mahaprabhu's order is simply this, that everyone should, without stopping, chant Harinam. Incessantly chant Harinam. The meaning of this command is not that people should always chant the holy name while completely desisting from all bodily activities, household duties, and dealings with others. By ceasing all actions of bodily maintenance, the body will be destroyed in a short time. In the context of this command, then, how should one engage in Harinam? Since the Lord gave humanity the command to incessantly take the holy name, Kirtaniya Siddhahari, then the true meaning is that everyone, whether grihastha, sannyasi, vanaprastha, or brahmachari, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, lowborn, or malecha, and so forth, all people should remain in their respective situations and chant Harinam. Verily, truly, this is the only meaning. It is necessary to nicely maintain one's own natural situation because that position facilitates the proper performance of one's activities for bodily maintenance, and thus the body will not expire untimely. It's so interesting because the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was somewhat different in this way. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mood was that if you understand the importance of spiritual life and then you find out that your house is burning down at home, don't even go home to put out the fire. You just stay and chant. So the moods were different. And Prabhupada, I see, he mixed both moods depending upon who he was speaking to. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur continues. But your bodily maintenance requires dealings with others. It is essential that all actions be observed in a pure and undisturbed fashion. Then all of these things will be conducted very nicely. When Nityananda Prabhu was preaching the first command of Mahaprabhu, he spoke in the following way. Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Sika. Nityananda and Haridas repeated the Lord's command by calling out to everyone. And this is actually the mood that Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, put into his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I remember very clearly a letter that he wrote where he said, if there is no preaching, the institution becomes rubbish. He used that very harsh word, rubbish. That's what he said. This is a movement to give mercy and in that way get mercy. So this is what Nityananda Prabhu preached. Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and accept Krishna's holy name from others. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, and Krishna is the treasure of your life. Krishna has incarnated for your benefit, so please worship this merciful Krishna and give up all sinful activities. After receiving the command to preach the holy name, and Prabhupada, by the way, he did tell me personally that it is my order to all my followers to preach. And if Krishna gives you the opportunity to preach, you should take it. So if you are a follower of Srila Prabhupada, this is your order too. So Thakur, Haridas, and Prabhu Nityananda went from village to village, house to house, and began proclaiming, "Hey Jiva, Lord Krishna is verily the life of your life, and Lord Krishna's name is the treasure of your life. All of you, please think about this. Think about this and incessantly chant the holy name." Living thus absorbed, the only other thing of concern is to see that no sinful behavior contaminates your activities of body or household maintenance. The meaning of the word anachar is asadachar, the activities that are impious. There are many types of impious sinful behavior and that are classified as anuchar, speaking lies, thievery, wantonness, doing harm to others, killing any living entity, disrespect for superiors, and so forth. Sri Nityananda Prabhu has personally explained the meaning of the word anuchar as follows. So then there's more verses explaining in great detail what this anuchar. So chant Hare Krishna and avoid asadachar, activities that are not suitable for eternal life, that are sinful and inappropriate. Nityananda Prabhu said, "Hey Vipra," quoting from Chaitanya Bhagavat, "just give up the path of irreligiosity once and for all," about Jagai and Madai. "Do not perform any further sinful activity. However, renouncing adharma alone, you should not live carelessly, but rather make a positive endeavor to accept the path of Dharma. And then he describes the principles of Dharma from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, which I won't read because there's a lot of them, but all of you should read in your time. Oh, brothers, he continues, for the purpose of passing your lives nicely, please desire to engage in activities that can constitute the principles of Dharma. Just behave honestly in this way and incessantly, without stop, remain absorbed in Harinam. That is my only advice to you. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur blessed the world with. We should sing. What did we decide to do with Kabe Bolo Se Dinamo? I wanted to end with this most amazing song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that imbibes so many of the things that he's already said. But really, there's no time. But what should we do? We should sing. Okay, you sing it verse by verse, and I'll read it, and then we shall end. This is such a wonderful song. This is right at the next to last song of his Bhaktivinoda Thakur songbook, Sharanagati. The last song teaches us how to develop our spiritual body through Harinam. And this song teaches us how to be exactly right to chant. So please listen, please imbibe it, and please chant along with us. When, oh when, will that day be mine? When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? When, oh when, will that day be mine? Kabeni damani saishnu Lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, when will my mind attain this quality? Respectful to all, not expecting their honor, then I shall taste the name's nectar sublime. When, oh when, will that day be mine? Dana dana
bhakti charane.
Great wealth or followers, feminine beauty, I won't care for them or the comforts of my body. Birth after birth, give me, O Lord Chaitanya, causeless devotion to your feet divine. Kabe habe bolo se dinamar, when or when will that day be mine? When will I utter Krishna, 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 with words choked up and a shivering body? When will I be trembling all over, lose bodily color, tears pouring from my eyes? When, oh when, will that day be mine?
Deepe Saraduni Tate
Nabadweep, along the Ganga bank, shouting Gaura Nityananda as a surrendered soul, dancing, chanting, running everywhere. When will I become half mad of mind? When, oh when, will that day be mine?
Kabe Nityananda More Kori Daya Charibe Vishayara Maya
When will Lord Nityananda show mercy to me? When will I reject the world of Maya? Bestow upon me the shade of your lotus feet and let the right to preach the name be mine. When, oh when, will that day be mine?
Bhari Namarasa Namarasa Mati Ay Devi Vasa Vasera Sika Charana Parasa Vasera Sika Charana Parasa
I will beg, borrow, or steal the nectar of the name. By the name's effect, I will feel paralyzed. O enjoyer of the nectar of the name, when will I touch your lotus feet till the end of time? When, oh, when will that day be mine?
Kabe jiba doya ve udai nita suka buli sudina vidoya.
When kindness to all beings will be appearing, with free heart forget myself comforting, Bhakti Vinod in all humility praise, now I will set out to preach your order sublime. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Vinod ki jai. Before you leave, just take a moment to offer some very deep and honest prayers to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to Srila Prabhupada, to C.C. Gonatai, to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to Krishna Balaram, to Radha Shamasunda, Lalita Vishaka. And be honest and open-hearted and be happy. Hare Krishna.